you this morning in the name of Jesus, opening up our hearts. Whatever your word says, we want to receive it. We want to do your word, Lord. And Father, this morning, that little boy, that little five-year-old boy that's getting ready to turn six, there have been 5 days, Lord, in a bunker with a man who is simply, he's just not all together. We pray that he has not been harmed, nor will he be touched, nor will he be affected from this event. We pray for his parents, oh God, who just must be beside themselves. We pray in the name of Jesus that he will come out safely today. Today, he will come out safely today without being harmed, and this tragic thing will come to an end. And Lord, we also lift up all those that we love here at Calvary that have been so ill, that are going through things. Father, we pray for Ken Vega and Sherwin and Roy Pipes, Steve Edwards, Lord, all the people that we continue to lift up, that you would touch their bodies and bring healing to them. Lord, now bless me. Help me to teach your word faithfully this morning, accurately this morning. Holy Spirit, use me any way you see fit, but let your word come forth and let it change our lives. We love you. We praise you in this place. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is our last sermon in a series on potential. And this morning, we're going to talk about finding your potential. This is the three-part series. This concludes it. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And beginning in verse 14, let me read. Paul the Apostle, he writes to us and he says, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And the church says, amen. Amen. What a glorious prayer and great scripture that we've read this morning. Potential, the possibility of becoming what you are. Potential, the existing and ready for action, but not yet active. I've opened up this series, these three sermons, if you will, with the same opening. Decision 2013. Are we really ready? Are we really willing to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus in 2013? Not settling for less. I mean, being the church that is proactive, that's moving forward. You know, that we're not failures. We're going to move forward in the power of another. Amen? And I think to myself, and I want to ask you the same questions that I've asked on every sermon. Do we really want to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus in 2013? I mean, is that really something that's in our hearts? If not, why not? I've asked questions like I asked last week. Do we want to be a popular church or do we want to be effective church? Well, why not be both? Amen? There's nothing wrong with being popular if you're effective. We're not here to play games. We're here to change the world. We're here to walk on water. We're here to see the sick healed. Those that are brokenhearted, mended. We're the church. And I look and I say, oh Lord, how much of the cross are we really willing to carry? Each one of us, come on. Each one of us this year. Is it just going to be, well, Lord, just a little bit here, you know, Lord, I mean, the crucified life. Well, we're already crucified with Christ. It's just a matter of us following him now. How far are we really willing to follow him this year? Halfway? All the way? Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Follow me and you'll not walk in darkness but have the light of life, Jesus said. That's what we want. And last week we talked about how important obedience is. It is the key to everything. It's the key to all of our understanding and the key to our potential in Christ. Remember what Jesus told us in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say, but if you do not love me, you will not keep my commandments. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? In other words, God's word says this. If you call yourself a Christian and you're really born again and Jesus is your Lord, and I realize that we're all at different levels of spiritual maturity, okay? So we're not here to crush anybody. We're here to lift you up. But the truth of the matter is that we demonstrate our love for God. Remember the Bible says in 1 John 5:3, this is love for God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous, not burdensome. They're not heavy. They won't wear you out. We prove our love for God by doing what he says, not by just saying, I love you. Love is a verb. And agape is so important that we do what God says. You know, we don't want to just be hearers of the word and not doers only. The Bible says if we do that, we're just deceiving ourselves, thinking that we can just hear God's word, but never do God's word. Jesus told us in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that you say? I say. Oh, no. We are a church. Calvary Chapel is a place we are building on the rock. Amen? In other words, Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? Wise man. A wise man who built his house on the rock. Listen, that's what we're doing. We're building this house. We're building our lives on the rock, the sayings of Christ, and then we do them. We just don't hear them only. Now, with all that being said, the prayer that I just read to you from verses 14 through 21 in Ephesians there, loved one, beyond a shadow of a doubt, one of my favorite prayers. But listen, this is one of the greatest prayers ever recorded in the Word of God. And you know what's amazing? Paul was chained to Roman soldiers. He is in prison. He is in Rome. And he penned the great epistle called Ephesians. And there he is in that cell, and he gives this prayer to us. He prays for all of us in every generation. He is moved by the Holy Spirit, and this is a prayer for the believer's unlimited potential in Christ Jesus. And he's praying that each of us, then and now, might experience that. That's what we want. Amen? Listen, God takes failures. He takes rebels. He takes tax collectors. Oh. And it takes fishermen. And he takes men and women, and they change the world. They change the world. They start colleges. They start orphanages. They start hospitals. They start charities. They feed the thousands and the multitudes. They clothe the weak. We're the church. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, I want what belongs to me, what Jesus paid for on the cross. Amen? And that's what you want as well. You want to not only discover your potential, you want to walk in your potential that you have in Christ Jesus. Now, with all that being said, look what Paul says in verse 14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, to be a part of this family, you have to be born again. Amen? In other words, our family, we have part of our family here, part of our family is in heaven, but we're still just one family. But what I want you to focus on is the reason. What reason, there in that prison cell, did Paul bow his knees? The reason is this. All the way back to Ephesians chapter 1 to where we are right now. If we read that, oh, it is a treasure chest of who we are in Christ Jesus. It starts out, Paul starts out and he says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, he says, we are blessed. We are blessed in Christ Jesus and with every spiritual blessing. Then he goes on, he talks about how we're chosen, how we're predestined, how we've been adopted, how we've been accepted, how we've been redeemed, forgiven, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Man, it just gets better and better and better. For this reason, he's on his knees in a jail cell, chained to a guard, and he's praying for every Christian throughout all the generations. And he says, listen, We're the ones that have been made alive, Ephesians 2:5. We've been made alive in Christ, amen? Listen, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. Verse 21 of chapter 2 tells us what? That we're the temple of the living God. Listen, loved one, we are the church. We're the very dwelling place of God. And not only that, we are the church unlimited on earth. Amen? Do you really believe that? If you don't believe that, there's a problem. You've been listening to somebody that's not telling you the truth. You've been living in the wrong environment. Listen, we are a supernatural people. We're supernatural people because the supernatural one lives in our hearts. He leads us and guides us. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, we are the church unlimited. We are the church forever triumphant, no matter what the world says, the government says, people say, it doesn't matter. We will forever be triumphant in Christ Jesus. And not only that, now listen very carefully. We are the church from which Christ governs everything. Who's the head of the church? Who's his body? Oh my. And I start thinking about that. Look over in chapter 1 of Ephesians and look at verse 22 with me. Talking about how Christ governs the entire universe from the church. Watch this. It says, and God, meaning he, has put all things under his feet, meaning Jesus, and gave him, meaning Jesus, to be the head over what? That's everything, folks. Everything. He's the head of the church. We're his body. And over all things to the what? That's you. That's me. To the church, which is his body. Now watch this. The church, which is his body, which is what? The fullness of him who fills all in all. Oh, the potential that we have. Oh, we're his body. Jesus is not totally just over us in all things. He is completely in us. We are his fullness. The church is the fullness of Christ, his body upon this earth. It says in Colossians 2:9, it says this, for in him dwells all the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily. And then he tells us something about us. He says, and you are, that's present tense, you are complete Christian. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and of all power. John 1:16 says that above his fullness we have all received grace for grace. I don't know about you. I call that unbelievable, unlimited potential that we have in our Savior. Amen? I look at that and say, oh Lord, listen, we are the church. We are his fullness on earth. We're his receptacle, if you will. And Paul prays this. He says that the unlimited potential that we have in Christ, that it might be manifested. It might be seen. I'm going to ask you a question. I am challenging you this morning as I have already challenged my own heart. These messages that I'm bringing, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to Bill. Are you listening? See, I'm with you. I want to move forward too. I want to go from glory to glory with you as well. And I look at this and I say, oh, as I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this generation, this 21st century church, will this prayer really be answered for this generation? That's what I ask him. I said, Lord, in our lives, in this church, to this generation, will this place called Calvary Chapel, will we truly taste to the fullness the unlimited potential, start tasting it, that we have already in Christ Jesus our Lord? Not playing church, not playing religion, not dressing up and carrying a Bible. Oh, I've been to church today, now it's time to go to Luby's. No, man, that's not what it's about. We're asking a question here. Look at verse 16. Paul continues to pray and he says, oh, I'm praying that God, he would grant you according to the what? The riches of his glory to be strengthened with power, to be strengthened not with weakness, not with fear, but with power, with might. And then he tells us how. This power, where it comes from. It says, through his spirit. And where does it, what is it for? It's for the inner man. The inner woman, okay? Listen, oh, I look at the potential of this power. It says it's according to God's riches. Let me ask you a question. Is God's riches limitless? Yes. Are there some boundaries on the riches of God? Absolutely not. And did you notice that Paul says not give? He doesn't use the word give you. He says grant you. There's a big difference there. We don't have to go get it. Are you listening to me? See, we don't have to go search for it. It says that he would grant you. And now listen, what does that mean? It means that if you are in Christ, does the Holy Spirit live in you? Yes, and if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you already possess His strength. It's right there, whether you use it or not. Do you see the potential there? It's already right there for us. Listen to me. Is there a limit to the power of God? No. What are you going through? What are you facing? Come on. I'm telling you, tap into the power that God is supplying for you. It's always available. It's there for you right now. Potential. The possibility. Possibility of becoming what you already are in Christ Jesus. Listen, look over at chapter 1, look back over at verse 18 with me. Look what Paul says here, talking about this power of God now, this unlimited potential that we have in us. That the eyes of your understanding, literally meaning your heart, okay? That the eyes of your heart, the vision that you have in your heart, being enlightened, being awakened. Watch this now. That you may know. That's where the information that you're reading right now in your Bible, where information becomes revelation in your heart. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. Now, whose calling are we talking about right now? Okay, Jesus, okay? What is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of not only His calling, but His inheritance? And look where His inheritance is. In the what? Now, you're either a saint or you ain't. You got me? Okay, so if you are a saint, here's what this is teaching us. It says that it's not about our inheritance that we have over, that we've already learned, that's in Ephesians chapter 1 as well. But it's about His inheritance. In other words, we belong to God. The church, we are His treasure. Amen? Oh, and I look at that and I say, oh Lord, and look what God does for His church, His saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His what? Power. That dunamis, the living power of God toward us who believe according to the working, or that energy, if you will, of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. Listen to me now. That scripture is so full of power and energy and thought. It is so pregnant with deep meaning, how what God does. Here's what He wants you to know. I want to say to us, like I say to myself when I'm doing my sermon, you know, or working this up, I'm literally typing it as I talk. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm talking to me. And my question, the first thing I said was, where's the church? Where is the church? Where's the fullness of Christ? Where are we hiding? Have we forgotten who we are in Christ? Think of the power. This is not religion. I'm talking relationship. Think of the power that He has placed in us. The church is filled with the unlimited potential of Christ Jesus. It's in our hearts. We belong to Him. We manifest Him. We're the light. We're the salt. Now listen to me. Did you notice verse 20? It says how God, we're talking about the Holy Spirit that worked in Christ when He, number one, raised Him from the dead. Number two, seated Him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. What does it tell you? It tells you, first of all, it speaks of resurrection power. I want you to think of the power that it takes to make a someone who is dead come back. Think about that. Resurrection power. The second power is ascension power. It has the not only raised Christ from the dead, but He just went right on up and He is now seated at the right hand of God. No wonder Paul the apostle over in Philippians 3:10, when he says, oh, that I may know Him, experience Him, more intimacy, that I may know Him. And listen to what he said after that. And the power of His resurrection. What was Paul referring to? He wasn't talking about the resurrection for our new bodies. He was talking about the power of the resurrection life that's in Him right now. The resurrection life that's in you. Listen to me. You have resurrection life. The power of a resurrected heart is living in you. Amen? I can prove that. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him, meaning the Holy Spirit, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Did you catch that? The Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells right now, lives in you, the church. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now listen, that is resurrection power now and resurrection power when we get our new bodies. Amen? Oh, church, listen, all of this power. Oh, can I say something? Man, I just share my heart for a moment, and it may make you a little upset, and if it does, you know, talk to Kent after the service or Pastor Daryl. They'll help you, okay? Send me an email. Let me just give you, it's info@loveneverfails.com. I won't get it, but someone will, okay? And I asked myself a question yesterday when I'm preparing this last sermon on potential. And I'm reading all of that, and I get uncomfortable in my heart. And I said, Lord, how can we who have this unlimited potential living in us, how can we be so guilty of exhibiting such faithlessness and carelessness and such weakness? And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, and I'm talking to, see, listen, before a sermon gets to you, it comes through my heart. Do you understand? I got to check my life out just like you're checking your life out. I want to be changed from glory to glory into the same image of Jesus Christ, just like you do. Amen? But we got to examine our hearts. And I'm sitting there, Lord, and I said, Lord, listen. I said, have we become lovers of selves? Is that what's wrong with us, the 21st century church? Is that what it is? I mean, have we become lovers of self more than lovers of you? Oh, God, is that what we've done? Oh, no, we won't do that. I said, Lord, are we having a form of godliness? But then are we denying your power that's living in us, that's working in us? I said, Lord, do we no longer, the church, me include, all of us, I said, Lord, do we no longer believe Philippians 4:13? I can do some things. I can do all things. Okay, now listen. He says, I can do all things. That means I am equal to anything that I'm facing in this life. Anything. I can do all things. How? There's the power. Through Christ. And look what He does. Who what? Strengthens me. Oh, listen. That's in the Greek, that's present continuous. Meaning that He strengthens us moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year. It's available 24/7. We have to get that into our heart. That's unlimited potential. I look at it and say, Lord, that's what I want. We have what no other religion has. We have power within. We're self-sufficient in Christ sufficiency. And you know, I finished putting that on my notes. I went over and I got a stick note. You know those little stick notes? They stick to things. See, and I wrote on that because I'm going, when I prepare, I'm thinking, Lord, I want to heal hearts. I don't want to hurt hearts. I don't want to ever be guilty of putting people under the law, but put them under grace. Amen? But at the same time, we're not a bunch of sissies. And I wrote down on that stick note, I said, after I looked at all these questions that I'd asked myself, and I wrote down, I fear that if I don't say these things and ask these hard questions, I fear that the next generation of pastors that are coming up right now will never ask them. We have to ask hard questions. Listen to me. I said to the Lord, I said, I know this is not possible, is it? But is it possible? I said, has the Holy Spirit in the 21st century church, has He maybe grown weary with us? The reason I say that is because I hear so many saying, instead of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I hear so many people today in the church, whether they're not taught right or they just don't know, I don't know, but they say, I can't do it. I can't follow. I can't go there. I can't pick up that cross. I can't do that. Now listen to me. God in the 21st century is looking for a people. He's looking for a church that will say this, I can. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a church that will say, I lay down my life. Just like that song Kent was singing, I lay it down and give it all. Lord, he's looking for a church that will say, I can do this through you. Let me ask you a question. What is the point of having unlimited potential in Christ, unlimited power in God, and never discovering it? And wasting who we really are in Christ. You remember when the seer, the prophet, he came to King Asa, the king of Judah. And he came to give him a word. And he came to him, and it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, he told the King Asa, he said, listen, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Whose heart is loyal to God says, I'm going everywhere. I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for the church, the ones that Jesus died for, the one that Jesus purchased with his own blood, the fullness of him that fills all in all, his receptacle, the one that's been granted all these promises and all this power and all this potential. He says, I'm going over all the earth. I'm looking for him. Where's that church at? And this was a rebuke to King Asa. He was trusting in other things and not in God. And you know what the prophet told him? He said, well, in this you've done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you're going to experience war. Listen, when I studied that out, my heart was just breaking. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, you look over the whole earth. You're looking. Look, I said, don't pass Calvary by. Don't pass us by. Amen. Look at our heart. We want it to be loyal to you. In other words, full of you. We want to do whatever you tell us to do. Go wherever you want us to go. It doesn't matter, Lord. Just take us there. Let us, our hearts be loyal to you. And I started thinking about all of that. And, you know, Christian, listen to me. I think about all the power that God has given us, that lives and resides in us. Not our power, his power. The incredible potential. And as I sat there finishing up last night, I started thinking about it and I said, oh God. And my heart started breaking. Because, can I just spit it out? Is that okay? My heart started breaking because I started thinking. I had a pen in my hand. That just like this. I picked it up on my study and I was looking at it. It was like the Lord said, you know, the church doesn't even have enough strength to pick up a pen and sign their name on a piece of paper that says, would you greet people? The church doesn't have enough strength to take a little pen and write on a piece of paper, I'll work in the nursery, or I'll work in the kids' church, or I'll be in the praise band, or I'll just be a helper, or I'll just clean. I'll do anything. I'll do anything for Jesus. You hear me? And I started saying, oh God, why are we living like beggars when we're not shouldn't be? What's wrong? Why are we living like a bunch of spiritual cripples, if you will? You know, and I started thinking that. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? And I said, Father, has pride consumed the church? Is that what it is? I know you hate pride. Is that what's happening to us? And I started thinking, I said, maybe the church doesn't want the power. Maybe we don't want the power from up on high. And I started thinking about that. And I started thinking, oh no, maybe we don't want the power from on high. You know, maybe what we want really is to control things. The way we want to control things. In other words, our vision, is it limited to self? You know, in other words, maybe we don't want the power. Maybe ministries that are here today, they don't want the power. Oh, they talk about the power, but they don't want the power, the real power, because it might threaten their little kingdoms. Now listen to me. whenever Jesus took them out as far as Bethany. He was getting ready to ascend to their Father and to His Father, the resurrected Lord. The disciples came unto Him and they said, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom? What were they saying? They were looking in the eyes of the resurrected Lord. They were going to see Him like that the last time. He was going to go up from them. He was going to be seated at the right hand of God. And you know what they were asking? Lord, You're going to restore the kingdom. You're going to power. You're going to give us power now, right, Lord? We're going to rule over Jerusalem, right, Lord? It's power. No, what did He say in Acts 1:8 right after that? He says, no, you're not getting it. He said, but ye shall receive what? Power. Not power, power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, He's already in you, but He's going to come upon you. He's going to overtake you. He's going to consume you. He's going to come upon you. And then you're going to be what? My witnesses all over the world. There is no substitute for the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit of God. None. I think, oh Lord, I don't want power. I want power. There's so many today, they want power. Oh God, help us. I said, Lord, is that what's wrong? Is that what's going on? Listen, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Jesus makes strong men and women who walk in the Spirit, that are led by the Spirit. Oh, listen, you remember there at the end of verse 16? It talks about what? Being strengthened where? In our what? In our inner man, our inner woman, being strengthened in here. Listen, no offense to this. We take care of our outer man, don't we? Come on. How many people did not look in the mirror this morning? Well, there's a few of you, but, you know. Now listen. No, you got there. You know, you shaved. You looked at your teeth. You flossed your teeth probably. You combed your hair. You know, you whatever y'all did. You put on that makeup, and that's okay. I'm not condemning any of that. But you know what? What did we do to our inner man? What are we doing to our inner man? Let's start caring more about the outer man than the inner man. Amen? Oh, no, we need to feed the inner man. Listen, we need to feed the inner man the Word of God and believe the Word of God and act upon the Word of God. Listen, if we live off the trash of this world, trashy sermons, amen? Just trash sermons. Oh, I like that word. It's a bunch of sissy sermons. Oh, wasn't that pleasant? He uses such exquisite language. He's a well-educated man. Well, that's not me. I want to be full of the Spirit, not full of the world. And I look and I say, oh Lord, maybe the church is weak because we're living off of all this trash. Trashy sissy sermons, trashy sissy praying. Lord, you know what? We don't want that. And we're not going to be in love with some trashy world either. No, we're going to kick that junk out of our heart. That's why Paul says in verse 17 about all this trash I just talked about. Look what he says in verse 17. He says he's praying that what? That the anointed one, that Christ may dwell where? In our hearts. Dwell in our hearts how? Through faith. Faith is a doorway that Christ passes through to come to our hearts. And listen, that word dwell is so vital. It's so important. It means a permanent, perpetual, unbroken habitation. And this is what I said. Listen, as I sat there prayerfully yesterday, I was in one of those weird moods yesterday, just analyzing everything in my life, my walk, because I want to move forward. I want the church to move forward. We want to go forward here. And I said, the word dwell, it means where Jesus dwells. He dwells in my heart, that permanent place. And I asked the Lord a question. I said, Jesus, do You feel comfortable in my heart? Do You feel at home in my heart? Is everything okay there? Or when you're there, Lord, do you feel more like a visitor, shoved to the back? I said, Lord, is that my heart? I don't want a bunch of trash in it. I don't want the trash of this world to crowd out Jesus. I don't want the wisdom of this world, if we listen to it long enough, if we're not careful, you know what it does? It blinds us to the unlimited potential that we have in Christ. Don't let the environment that we live in do that to you, the environment of the world. Don't let it blind you. You know, I read a study, and I'm not for sure how accurate this study was or how accurate I'm going to even explain it to you. It's from a marine biologist talking about the great white shark that in the ocean it can grow up to, what, 20, 30 feet or something, weigh up to 3,500 pounds, or that's one of the largest, I think, that they've ever found or caught or something. But this marine biologist did an experiment where a great white shark born in captivity was placed in an aquarium. And an amazing thing happened to the great white. Instead of growing 20, 30 feet long and weighing 3,500 pounds in the aquarium he was placed, he never grew over 15 inches long and never weighed over 20 pounds. And I said, what? How did that happen? He had all of this potential. Are you seeing that? He had everything that he needed to grow into that. And he was placed in a certain environment, and that environment stopped him from growing. Listen to me. It stopped his potential. And that's why we have to be so careful. What environment are you putting your heart in? What environment am I putting my heart in? Is it stunting our growth? Is it captivating you? Is it filled with trash? Is it pushing Jesus to the back corner of your heart? We will not walk in the potential that we have if we're going to live like that. I refuse to be blinded by this world. Amen? I refuse. We are supernatural people. We don't even look at the natural. We look at God, what he's doing. And that's why Paul said here, he says, oh no, get all that trash out of your heart. And that's why he continues in verse 17, he says, now he's praying that what? That you, that's us, that you being rooted and grounded in religion, in knowledge, no, in love, the love that never fails. Oh, what incredible potential that we have. Listen, the soil that we are rooted in and grounded in is the agape of God, the love of God. Without his love operating in us and through us, you know what happens? We limit ourselves in the world, the environment that we live in. See, Jesus told us in John 13, 34 through 35, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And here's the new part, remember, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he tells us something. He says, by this, by us loving one another as Jesus loves us, by this, it says, all men will know what? That you are my disciples. You see, if we're not going to be rooted and grounded in that love, swimming in that love, growing up in that love, understanding that love, listen, the world say, well, you're no different than us. You know, you're just a bunch of trashy talking people. That's all we do. We talk trash all the time. You know, judge people, cut down people, live like the world. Well, listen, if the world doesn't see something different in us, there's a problem. Amen. And I'm looking, I say, oh Lord, I don't want to be like that. And then in verse 18, he says, he's praying, watch this now, that we may be able to do something, to lay hold of. That word comprehend means to lay hold of. It means to make as your own, that you may be able to comprehend not just a few of the saints, with all of the saints, what is the width, the length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that Paul's prayer is answered in this church and for this generation. In other words, let us apprehend, not just comprehend, what God just said in his word. And this love is not our love for Jesus. This is his love for us. Listen to me. God is love. Love never fails. And I start thinking about this potential that we have. No matter how much, the height, the width, the depth, the love of Christ passes knowledge. No matter how much we experience the love of Christ, there's still more to experience. Does that make sense? Oh, he loves you. We think he loves you, but you know, the fact of the matter is he really loves us. And the only way to know that is to experience that in a deep way, to where where that love embraces you because you're rooted and grounded in it. Oh, how he wants us to have that and to know the love of Christ. Again, not our love, but his love, which passes knowledge, and that you may be overflowed, saturated with all the fullness of God. Listen, to be full of something, it means there isn't room for anything else. To be full of Jesus means there's no room for self. Remember what Jesus said? If you want to come after me, deny yourself. Let me have your heart. Give me the keys to your heart. Let me go in there. I'll get out all the trash. I'll change you from glory to glory to glory to glory. I'll change you. And you'll love the adventure. You'll love what I'm going to do in your life. Potential. The possibility of becoming what you are. And look what Paul does now as he closes out this prayer. He says, now to him who is able. Do you believe he's able to do anything? Anything? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. You know what? We ask so little of God, don't we? We usually ask for what we already possess. Lord, give me strength. He says, you got it. You already have it. Lord, give me peace. Jesus, I've given you my peace. Do you understand? It's already there. Now unto him above all that we ask or think, literally all that we can even understand, comprehend, according to the power that works where? The Holy Spirit working in us. You know, loved one, listen to me. Here is the answer. The answer to finding our unlimited potential that we have in Christ Jesus. It says here that God is able to do super abundantly above and beyond what we ask or think. Now listen very carefully. For what kind of believer? That's the question you need to ask yourself. And really let this enter your heart right now. If you want to discover and walk in and find the potential that you have in Christ Jesus, the answer for you is right here in verse 20. It says the kind of believer that God is working in is what? It is according to how much of the Holy Spirit's power we allow to work in our lives. Amen. Oh, church, listen. Everything we need, we already have. Do you agree with that? I mean, positionally, we're already seated with Christ in the heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6. As far as he's concerned, we're seated with him. Now, do you think that God wants us to experience our position? Absolutely. We're the church. We're his body. In other words, Jesus uses us now. It's not our power, it's his power working in us. How much of his power are we really allowing to work in our lives when we can't even pick up a pen? Are you following me? Come on, let's be honest this morning. I'm not beating on you. I love you, man. But I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke. I'm sitting here, I'm going, dear Lord, it's according to what? Bill, how much do you want me to work in your heart? How much do you really want me to work in your life? How much do you really want me to work in your prayer time? Yeah, but Bill, you understand, I'm a plumber. Okay, well, that's what's wrong with being a plumber. Do your plumbing to support your priesthood. All right, you're an attorney? Well, God have mercy, but I'm joking. Okay, you know that. I'm teasing. We support our priesthood by our vocation. We're priests unto God. We're to proclaim His praises and marvelous light to the people. We're to walk in his power, in his anointing, in his goodness, in his love. It's given to us. Oh, what potential. How much will this church in 23, how much will we allow the Holy Spirit of God to use us to do God's will? I started thinking about that and I said, oh Lord. You know, Wiest, in Wiest's word studies, a Greek scholar, let me tell you what he said about this scripture. He says, the saint, Now, you know, a saint, okay, set apart one's a Christian. You're either a saint or you ain't. Now, the saint determines what God is able to do for him. In his inerrant ability, there is no limit to what God can do in and through the saint, the Christian. But the Christian limits the working of God in and through him by the degree of his yieldedness to the Holy Spirit that lives in him. You know, I started thinking about that. Remember how I opened up this series with me in my grandmother's house, and I was a 4-year-old little boy. And I said that day my life changed forever. And why did it change? It's because my sister knelt down beside me and taught me how to tie my shoes. She came alongside me. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does for us? He comes alongside of us. He lives in us. He has come upon us, and he comes alongside of us to help us, to strengthen us, to lead us, to use us, to change us, to use us to change the world, to change a city, to change people's lives individually. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, that's what we want. Why are we so afraid of this? Oh God, we want this. We want you to control our life, control our heart. Remember in John 6, whenever the Philip and them, Jesus, you know, the people were hungry and Jesus told them, well, recline in, I think it was recline in 50s or whatever, in ranks of 50s. Thousands of people. And Philip said, Lord, we don't have any food to feed these people. We don't have any food at all. He said, but there's a little boy here, this lad, he's got a lunch. And he says, he's got a couple fish and loaves or whatnot. Jesus said, oh, okay, bring them to me. He gave thanks. And then he told the disciples to pass it out. Amen. Who did the work? Who did the work? Jesus. We were just his instruments. Jesus is the one that made it happen. That's the power. You mean we're going to get to feed all these people? Yes, but it's me. Listen, whatever you give to God, he multiplies. That's potential. Amen. When God, no matter what we bring to, little is much when God is in it. That's potential. You remember what it says? Let me just read Mark 16 to you very quickly. It says in the Gospel of Mark, it says Jesus there at his resurrection, he was getting ready to ascend into heaven. He gave the great commission and he said this, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now listen carefully. And these signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? All right. In my name, they're going to cast out demons. You know, last week I was talking about demons and I used that scripture. I said, and you know what? In my name, I'll cuss out demons. They had to edit that, you know. They have a whole thing of Bill's bloopers on the radio, you know, they line them up. It's very embarrassing. You don't cuss out demons. Okay. Don't do that. You cast out demons. And it says, yeah, and it says here, in my name you'll cast out, speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents, and they'll drink anything deadly. It's not going to hurt you. Now listen to what it says. You'll lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. So then after the Lord spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Now listen very carefully. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Do you understand what I just said? We obey the Lord. Lord, you said to go do it. I'm going to go do it. And guess who goes with you and who supplies all the energy you need? Do you understand? We're just the vessel. We're just his instrument. And it says, and the Lord working with him, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. I believe with all my heart that we cannot begin to comprehend what we are missing. I've never, ever had a greater adventure than when I follow the Lord. And I've been all over the world. When you follow him into the unknown, not just like Abraham, not knowing where you're going, but by faith you're following. Adventure after adventure. We cannot begin to comprehend what we're missing and privileged to experience. Our potential in Christ, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work whatever he wants to do. Loved one, listen, it's waiting for us and it's going to exceed all that we can ask. It's going to exceed all that we can think or understand. And the question has to be this. The 21st century church, forget the name on the bulletin board outside or the sign. Forget all the names. Forget all the denominations. Look at the true church, those who are born again, who are in it. Are we going to settle for just this in this generation? Is this all there is? Are we going to just say, okay, mediocrity is okay? I'm going to let the Lord use me so much, but not any. You know, it's like I told you, you remember, it's like I told you what, I don't know when it was, a couple of weeks, I don't even know. And when I was a baby Christian, and I didn't let God use me. I mean, I was 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, even that, in the Lord. And I got a phone call from a secretary that I was fond of. I was a single man. She was married. Now listen to me. She comes, said, Bill, I've got to talk to you. Because we were friends. She said, I've got to talk to you. I'm going through my husband. He's left with another woman who was another secretary where I worked. And I said, let's just talk over the phone. I can't talk to you. Because I was a brand new Christian. I was afraid. Do you understand me? I was afraid. I was born again, man, and I was going, I don't want to do anything wrong. You understand what I'm getting at? I'm just being honest in my heart. I don't want to do anything wrong. She came over. I just, and I talked to her just for a few minutes. Said, I've got to talk to you. I said, I can't talk. I didn't tell her about Jesus. I don't know what was wrong with me. She was so distraught, she went home that night and killed herself. I did not allow God to use me. Are you listening to me? I did not allow God to use me. God wants to use you. He doesn't want to use you. Listen, when a Christian is gossiping and backbiting, do you think that's the Holy Spirit? No, that's not God. That's filth. That's trash. God says, I want to use you to change people's lives. I want to use you. I want to speak to you. I want to give you word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I want to use you. I want you to lay hands upon people. I want you to follow me. And you know what it's going to be like? Here's the deal. You're going to end up just like Paul, rotting in a jail cell. Paul said, I bow my knees. He was in a jail cell. I bow my knees to the Father. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Oh, church, listen, I look at all of this and I'm saying, oh God, what is the purpose in all of this? Why did Paul even pray this prayer? Where is it going to lead? All this power that's in us, all this potential. Is it so that we can boast about our achievements? Is it so that we can brag about how many we lead to Christ? You know, another notch on our spiritual Bible, another one we brought to the Lord. Is it to boast about how many people come to our church? Or is it to boast about, oh, how anointed I am or anointed we are? No. Look what it says in verse 21. What's this, all this potential for? What's the purpose of it? This unlimited potential the church has in Christ. Here it is. It says, to him be what? But look where. Glory where? In the church. Lord, that's you, that's me, that's us. How is this glory going to happen? By Christ Jesus. And who is it to? It says to all generations, every generation, all the way back from the apostolic age, all the way to this very minute. It says, what does he say? He says to all generations forever and ever. And the church says, amen. Listen to me. Potential. We are here right now. We are here in this. We've been born for this day. We are here to bring glory to Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility as Christians to acknowledge it, to reflect it, and to make it known. And the lost and hurting world will see his glory. Now listen, they will only see his glory only to the extent that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. To work in us. To use us. What are we going to do with it? Here we are. How much of the Holy Spirit's power will we really allow to work in our hearts, to work in our marriages, to work in our singleness, to work at our jobs, to work in this world? How much Will we really allow him to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ? Listen to me. Tell me something that God can't do. Amen. God cannot lie, but you know, one of the greatest sins in the church is to put a limit on God. I'm a Christian. I have all these promises. I have all this power. I have all this unlimited potential, but you know what? That's about it. Can't go any, you know, I'm just going to kick the can down to the next generation and go on from there. Listen, what can God do for you? Do you believe God will touch you, help you, heal you, bless you? I hope so. It's easy for us to believe that for other people, isn't it? But not ourselves. You know, the words too difficult or hard or I don't understand, they're not in God's vocabulary. They don't exist there. Let's never set a limit on God. He is able. Oh, he is more than able to do super abundantly in our lives, in this church, in this generation. Jesus said in John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, literally, he who does not put a limit on me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Potential. The possibility. It's possible. The possibility of becoming what we are. How much are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Don't look at that. Get your eyes off of that. Turn it off. Don't pick that up. Don't say that. Move out. Don't sleep with her. Don't sleep with him. Do not sin. Your body belongs to me. Oh, is Jesus welcome in our hearts? Is he at home there in this church, in our hearts, in my heart? I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, what are we to do? You see that Greek word there, that, or rather the English word ask. You see it there in verse 20? Ask. Above all that we can ask. Above all that we can ask. Well, in that Greek word means, in the Greek it means this. It means to ask that something may be given. Literally to ask for one's self. Decision 2013. Here it is. Are we really willing to be all that we're capable of becoming in Christ Jesus? It's not our working. All we have to do is let him work. It's not our ability. All we have to do is let his ability do it. Listen to the cry of the Holy Spirit as I conclude, loved one. Look right down past 21. It goes, I know, into chapter 4, but here's the cry. Paul just finished the greatest prayer, I believe, recorded in the Bible, not greater than the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17. I don't mean that. But what I am saying is listen to the cry of the Holy Spirit through Paul as he concluded his prayer. And what does Paul do? He says, therefore. When you see the word therefore, you know what it means. Go back and see why it's therefore. In other words, read the text that the prayer that we just have covered. Go back and read it. Therefore, he says, because of the prayer I just prayed. Look what he says. The prisoner of the Lord, he's in prison. He says, I beseech you. That word means I am pleading with you. I am begging you. I am urging you to what? To walk worthy of your calling with which you were called. Do you see how important that is? Listen, we have a worthy walk in front of us. We have the Holy Spirit that resides in us, has come upon us, and is alongside of us. Church, we can walk on water if God so chooses and desires. Do you understand? We can do the impossible because Jesus said, he said, for with God, all things are possible. Amen. He takes people just like us, people that are rebellious and stiff-necked and stubborn, and we are. And he says, I'll use you if you allow me to work in your heart. You're already born again. You're already saved. Heaven is already your home. How do you want to finish your life? How do you really want to finish it? You want to sit there in front of a TV in your lazy boy? Come on. That's not living. Come on. Where is he taking us? Where are we going? I'm getting ready to go to Mexico, man. You know, I get so excited I can't even speak. We can build homes for children, for moms and dads who don't even have drinking water. we can change lives. We can change a part of a history of people's lives. Church, listen. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. As I close, I have to ask you a question. First of all, one to those who do not know the Lord. I pray that you're willing right now to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. He's on the outside looking at you. He's right alongside of you right now. He wants you. He wants you to come to Jesus, the one who died for you, the one who paid for your sins. He wants to fill you with all the fullness of Christ. He wants to baptize you anew. Listen, he wants you to be a new creation. He wants heaven to be your home. He has a plan for your life, a good plan, but the devil has a plan for you too. If you don't know Christ, I tell you, the devil has a plan. He wants to take your potential, and he wants whatever potential you have in the flesh, and he wants to crush your life. He wants to destroy your life. You come to Christ. He's there whispering right now. He's saying, I don't want to be a visitor in your heart. I want to dwell there permanently. I want to come into your heart. I want to kick out all the trash and all the junk and all the failures, all the pain of the past. I want to just cleanse it. And I want you to walk out of here a new creation. The only way to do that is to ask Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life, asking him to come into your heart. And that's what we're going to do right now. And then I'm going to talk to the Christian for a moment. But right now, those that are listening live, if you don't know the Lord, listen, you pray this prayer with me right now. You that are here in the sanctuary, you don't know Jesus Christ, pray this prayer right now. Pray it with me. Church, help me out. Say, Father, I am a sinner, and my heart is filled with trash. I want it filled with Jesus. So right now, I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess that and truly believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. Father, save me. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Heads are bowed, no one looking around. Did you pray that prayer? One more step of faith. Not getting out of your chair. Every head is bowed between you and God. If you prayed that prayer, just simply lift your hand and put it right back down. Say, Bill, I prayed that prayer. That's right. God bless you, sir. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that was me. I prayed that prayer from my heart. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. You were online that prayed that prayer. You just email me at info@loveneverfails.com, and I'm going to send you a booklet called Welcome to the Family of God. I want to rush it right to you, and I encourage you to write me. Christian, listen to me as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We just had some new family members come into the kingdom. Here's the deal. It said whatever we ask, that means we have to go before the Lord. Are we really willing to go on with the Lord now in a greater way?